The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. The following program contains subject matter and realistic language that some listeners may find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised. Well, good afternoon, Savannah. It is just past 12 o'clock on this Friday, and that means you're now listening to Literature on WRUU 107.5 FM. I'm Lee Rich, and my co-host here with me is Mr. P.T. Bridgeport, who also has a program on Saturdays at 5 p.m. called When the Moon Sings. P.T., how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm called P.T. Bridgeport on that show, too, so yes. It all works out real fine.
Yeah, as far as I know, you're P.T. almost every day for me.
Well, it's turning out that way.
All right. Well, here at Listening to Literature, we like to examine thought-provoking books of the present and the past and offer our listeners book news, reviews, and interviews. And to that end, today, P.T. and I have here in the studio with us Kim Bakiasuen, who is the executive director of the Savannah Book Festival. Kim, how are you today?
I'm great, Lee, and I'm delighted to be with you and PT today to talk about the wonderful festival that's just around the corner.
It is. So February 14th to 17th this year, correct?
And every year we're on President's Weekend. This year it falls. We'll start off on Valentine's Day, February 14th, and run through Sunday the 17th.
Okay. So that is coming up pretty darn fast.
It is.
All right. So let's actually, let's talk about the festival's history before we actually talk about what's on tap for this year's festival. This is going to be the 12th.
It is the 12th annual. So our first festival took place in 2008. We had one little venue. Trinity United Methodist Church was gracious enough to welcome us. We had a couple tents in Telfair Square. And from there, we're on three squares, Chippewa, Wright, and Telfair, and we have seven venues downtown. So in the past 12 years, we have really, really grown.
It's really taken off. Mm-hmm. Do you remember about how many authors you had that first year?
You know, it was a handful. We had three headline authors, and then we had five or six that were additional authors that we offered. Since 2008, we've had 500 plus authors come to Savannah through the Savannah Book Festival. This year we'll have 46 total.
Right, okay, 46. And we'll talk about the headliners, mm-hmm. We'll talk about Festival Saturday.
But the history?
Yes.
There was a man named Matt Prickett who came to town, was an Atlantan who retired down to Savannah. His wife was still working. So to keep himself busy, he thought, we have Conrad Aiken, we have Flannery O'Connor. He and his wife loved to go to book festivals all over the country. They thought we should have one here. And he went out single-handedly, reached out to the city, to the academic communities, got some people to come in, put some money in. And then he headed to New York with a laptop in hand, walked brazenly into these publishers' offices and said, I'm going to sell you on a book festival. Super successful. I'd say the book festival we all know now is probably from about 2009, 2010 on. It grew at that point pretty rapidly.
Okay. So, it started off with a bang then.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. So now what about how did you come to the Savannah Book Festival?
So I was involved as a sponsor in years past and an attendee. And about 5 years ago, my husband and I sold a company and retired. And I went out to lunch with a dear friend who happened to be on the Savannah Book Festival board and said, I've taken some time off, I'm ready, but I just want a little part-time job. And she said, well, that's interesting because there's going to be an opening for the executive director and it's a little part-time job.
that takes up your whole life.
But, God works in wonderful ways, and that's how I got involved, and I applied and they hired me, and I started in March of 2016. This will be my third festival, and it has really grown. I think I look back on the last 3 years, what I did was take a festival that was evolving, and now we've helped mature. We have office space. We have a staff of three. We have an intern from SCAD pretty regularly, and we have about 150 volunteers that we work with. So that logistically is what we've done over the last 3 years is grow that. We've added an app that you can use on festival day for finding out, how to get from venue to venue, who's speaking, what time, what food trucks are serving, and we have a whole new website, new marketing materials. We're really trying to just let everyone know the book festival is happening and you're welcome to attend.
Absolutely. Now, what's your background?
I came here almost 25 years ago. My husband was the managing editor of the Savannah Morning News for 10 years. And while he was doing that, I was raising kids and working in different marketing jobs part-time, doing a little bit for myself. And then we bought a company in 2005, and it was a consulting company with all over North America. And so from 2005 to 2014, we ran that company. Dan has Parkinson's disease. He's had it for 18 years, and that running that company was a burden on us. And then we sold it, and that's how I'm here. But before I did that, I was development director at Historic Savannah Foundation, which has cemented my love of this absolutely beautiful town. And I've been now doing this. I was the chief operations officer for our company. So logistics and finance are kind of my specialty, with a little bit of marketing for excitement.
Kind of what you need for a festival.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Kim, I noticed in your background that you spent a year up at Chautauqua.
I didn't spend a year. My husband's family has a home up there. We're up there every summer.
Okay.
I actually attended the Chautauqua Writers Festival in 2015. I took off a year to try and write a book like we all do. I just retired. I thought that was the perfect time, and turns out I'm an extrovert, and extroverts make really rough authors, because I would sit down to write, and I'd be like, maybe I could call somebody to go to lunch, or maybe I can go out and find people to talk to.
From having the same experience, I can assure you that you don't have to be an expert. You can find an excuse for not writing in many
that's right.
Things.
But I loved going to Chautauqua Writers Festival. I met many young, fabulous writers who are writing about things that this whole zombie apocalypse movement, this dystopia, things that I wasn't aware of. It really exposed me and I think prepared me when I had the opportunity to come into the Savannah Book Festival to understand that there's all sorts of subject matter. We have a lot of emerging writers that we've supported, debut writers who are writing about things that my grandma wasn't reading about and I wasn't frankly reading about,
right.
But lots of young readers are interested in them.
One of the things that's always impressed me about the festival, and it's true again this year, is the wonderful breadth of the writers. There's fiction, there's nonfiction, there's all sorts of different angles on things. This is part of what makes the festival really special, really iconic for Savannah.
And it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of thought that goes into that. It's interesting you say that because, you look at who we have this year coming to our festival Saturday on February 16th, and some of the writers may not be household names, but they were picked for a reason that we actually invited them. We're the largest invitation-only literary festival in the country. You have to be invited to come. And we look for authors who are talking about new things. We look for authors who are, on the political radar in the center.
Right.
We look for nonfiction that covers health, science, aviation, automotive, military history, World War II history.
Sports history.
European history. We just try not to have two or three of the same thing. And that's hard to do because even though we invite them, they don't always come.
Right.
So we tend to have a list for every pocket we're trying to fill. We'll have three or four authors. If the first one accepts, we're done. That spot's filled. If not, we go on until we find somebody in that genre.
And you have all those things, and then you also have the popular authors. I see Mary Kay Andrews here. You have Deborah Tannen, who's made quite a name for herself.
She's a linguist. Well, yeah, I think she was trained as a linguist.
She's a professor at Georgetown, actually, and her first book was about relationships between men and women that was on the New York Times bestseller
for four years.
I wish it was referenced regularly at my house, but it is not. to have someone like that come here and share, and this book is about girlfriends and how,
women
really depend on each other for their, their support and their way to face adversity. Even if you're in a couple, you tend to lean on your girlfriends in a way that you may not lean on your spouse.
Absolutely. So you started talking a little bit about the selection process. Could you tell us more about that?
Sure.
Do people submit applications to you? Do you seek them out?
So it's a little bit of everything. Our submission period is from March 1st to June 30th for the following year. So by June 30th this year, if we hadn't seen your work, it wasn't being considered. And we'll open again in March 1st for 2020. We have an author selection committee.
Okay.
It is all volunteers. Mm-hmm. I am the staff support to it, but they are the ones who go and make the decision. So we review what people who've submitted things that they would of their own. We have people in our community. I'll have volunteers. I'll have somebody I met who, you know, runs the restrooms that says, hey, I've heard of this author. We put it on the list. We review all of that. And then we have many publishing professionals in our world that will say, here's what we hear is coming. Here's something interesting. We sit and we review all that. And from that, we get a prospect list. I take that prospect list to New York in June. And I speed date my way through the publishing world. In 1 week, I meet with 45 individual publicists. And what we do is basically we're at Simon & Schuster. We're at this imprint. Here are the authors we're interested in. They'll go down the list, say yes, no, maybe, of who they know would be willing to come, who might be in the process of writing. That's one of our problems in February. You know, most books come out between June and November.
Right.
So a lot of times February is an editing period or a rewrite time, and so because of that, sometimes we're not in the right schedule. And then I say to them, well, what's coming that we haven't heard about? You know, because the publicists know. They know a year out what's coming. And so they give me the people they think would be a good fit for us. I bring those lists back to the author selection committee in late June, and from that, we put an invitation list together. This year, we invited 52 headline authors to get the three addresses, right. And we invited almost 180 Festival Saturday authors to confirm the 43 that we have coming this year. And, you know, people say, well, I can't believe you'd never invite it. Michael Connelly. Oh, gosh, we invite Michael Connelly every year, and one of these years it's going to work out. One of these years, John Grisham's going to want to come see Savannah.
That's right.
It's just not this year.
Everything has to align correctly.
Absolutely.
For the festival schedule and for the author schedule and the publisher schedule.
It's amazing that it happens, and we've had a couple drop out. We've had a late edition, and all of that is that schedules that were, you know, in July, when you tell me you're coming, you get to December, and sometimes life has happened in the meantime.
Absolutely. And all of the selections for the 2019 festival were books that were published in 2018. Is that a criteria?
Some of them actually will be published in January, February this year.
Okay.
So our criteria is, so starting the first day, that Monday, February 18th, until the last day of the festival in 2020, the book has to be published for the most part.
Okay.
We also have what we call evergreen authors. You know, if James Patterson hasn't printed a book, which he probably has that year, but if he hasn't,
he's got plenty to choose from.
Yes, same with Michael Connelly or John Grisham. If they hadn't published a book, we would still want them to come. Diana Gabaldon is a perfect example. She was our opening address author last year. Her ninth book has been writing for a long time. Hadn't had a book in a while, but we knew, and you know, she sold out. In less than 30 seconds, I sold 1,100 tickets.
Wow.
It crashed our website. So, you know, that's what we call an evergreen author, and they're fun. But I also like the young debut authors, some of the emerging voices. They may be on their second or third novel that we didn't really hear much about the first two, but this third one has some chatter. And it shows me a world that I'm, you know, as I said, the whole dystopia thing, I don't understand, but I've heard some authors talk about it, and it's fascinating.
Yeah. If you're just now joining us, this is Listening to Literature on WRUU 107.5 FM. I'm Lee Rich, here with my co-host, P.T. Bridgeport, and today we're talking with Kim Bakiasuen, the Executive Director of the Savannah Book Festival, which is coming up February 14th to 17th, 2019. P.T., I don't know if you have some burning questions for Kim, or should we just keep going down our list?
Oh, why don't we just keep on going? I'm learning a fascinating amount about the festival, so I'm busy absorbing all of this.
You and me both. And I know, PT, you and I, we are attendees of the festival, but we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And Kim, you were telling us a little bit about the selection process, and I'm surprised that you are sane and still have all your hair right now. Talk to us about the preparation process.
Well, you know, it's interesting is when I took this job, it was a part-time seasonal job was my understanding, and that turns out it's not. It's year-round. You know, we get done the festival, that end of February, we're closing up, we're paying vendors, we're, you know, we kind of download everything that happened, what can we do better, what worked, what didn't, all that. This year we're in the middle of a strategic planning process, so we'll probably have plenty to do in the spring. And then by May, we're starting to work on authors that we go forward. But the fall is our busiest time, even busier than right now, so that's why things are a little bit calm right now. we are soliciting sponsorship. So we raise about $350,000, 90% of which is individual or corporate donation. Wow. I've worked in development for 30-some years. I have never been part of an organization that has such wide community support. We are really blessed. 6% of our profit our revenue comes from ticket sales, and 4% comes from book sales over the weekend. So, you know, raising money to, we don't pay any authors, but we do fly them here. We put them up in beautiful hotels all around Savannah. We put on, you know, events to support them and to highlight the festival. That all takes a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when it comes to actually carrying out the festival, I know it happens fast. It happens over a 3-4 day period.
Right.
How many volunteers, how many staff, how many volunteers do you need to make this run?
So we have 3 staff year-round, plus we're fortunate enough to have a SCAD intern who comes in, which really helps us with the social media, since I still call it the Facebook, much to my children's
chagrin. That's right.
But, you know, we're fortunate with that. And then we have probably 5 or 6 volunteers year-round that give us some support when we need it. We have a 21-person board. It's a working board who spend the year helping us get ready. And then actually for festival weekend, we use about 130 volunteers. Right. We're still always looking for volunteers. If you're interested in coming, it's a great way to know you'll definitely hear an author, because if you're there, you're in. Even if the line's still out the back, you're
right.
In. If you go to our website, www.savannahbookfestival.org, there's a volunteer button in the upper right hand. If you click on that, there's a short form to fill out, and I guarantee someone will be in touch with you.
Yeah, that's right.
You
will chase them down. And that's for being a volunteer for...
To be an usher, to be one of the things we've added this year that I'm really excited about is a logistics volunteer, which, as you can tell, that's kind of my thing. And we need somebody to do some line management. We are so blessed to have almost 10,000 people attend our events over the weekend. Well, and they're well-behaved people. We don't have any rowdy folk or anything like that. But people are rushing from one to another. There needs to be a process so that they know they can get in. And so we've implemented that. We have what we call venue captains and author liaisons who introduce the authors, moderate the questions, make sure the ushers who are volunteering show up. There's a lot of moving parts, and we're fortunate to have some great volunteers who make it happen year after year.
Right. Now, in your book selection process, you do fiction and nonfiction. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do, let's talk about some local authors. Do you always try to include local authors in that selection process?
We always try to include local authors. You know, the thing is, local authors are here locally year round. We're bringing in nationally recognized authors 1 or 2 days a year. So that's always in the back of our minds. I like to always have a couple local authors who are published, to show people that you can do it. I can't tell you how many people call me, how do I get my book published, all that. There are a million ways to get published. We do not have self-published or author-financed authors at the festival. That's just kind of our line in the sand. We are already overwhelmed with submissions. If we included that, I think it would be crazy. Also, it's just eyes on the thing. You know, if you have been published by a regional or national press, a lot of people have touched that. And I know it's the best book you've ever written.
Right.
But everybody thinks that.
Yeah,
so,
the editors have been through it. The paginators have been through it.
So a lot of time I'm the bad guy of saying, I'm sorry, if it's self-published or author-financed, we can't feature it at the book festival. But we have many authors in this area who do have book contracts. You know, we're going to have a Harrison Scott Keyes talk our festival this year. He's a SCAD professor. This is, I believe, his second book.
Right.
Last year we had Christina Kelly, had a big book with Harper and Collins. So we are fortunate that we have some really talented people in Savannah, and we've featured many local authors in the past, and I hope to feature them in the future.
Right, and that Harrison Scott Key book, which PT and I will probably, we're going to maybe try to get him on Listening to Literature, hopefully in, I don't know, January, early February, sometime before the festival. His book is Congratulations, Who Are You Again? Which is a memoir.
Right.
Right. PT and I were talking way before the show. PT, you were wondering if, what about poetry, book illustrators?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The process of publishing a book involves a lot of different arts.
Right.
Book art publication, book art is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are different areas of literature, for example, poetry. Do you consider either of those two things?
Well, from poetry, we in the beginning we had it, and we did it for a year or two, and it just proved to not be where our focus needed to be.
Right.
So we have made the decision at this point to not have poetry. I don't know if you're aware, we are partnering with the Live Oak Public Library System to have a children's tent this year. So the library system has for many years, two decades, had a children's book festival in November. This year, because of things that are going on with them and funding and transition and leadership, they were not able to put it on. So they reached out to us. So we're going to host a children's festival tent on Sunday, the 17th, from 1 to 4 on East St. Julian Street off of Reynolds Square. And there we're going to have not only children's authors, but children's illustrators as well, because that's as big a thing in children's books
it's
as it is.
It's a very big thing.
Very big thing. Books. And that has been their tradition. So we're going to honor that and include that. This will be a very modified event compared to what they've done, but we're thrilled to be able to support them in this and include it in our festival. And they're out and have solicited five great authors that are coming in and illustrators. And then they'll also have, entertainment and storytelling and all those things we don't need to have, because grown-ups will come and sit in a chair for a half hour and listen to an author speak. Kids, Not so much. So I think that's the way that we're looking to. We've also, from other parts of the publishing, we've just started. Last year we had Jennifer Bergstrom, who was the publisher of Gallery Books, an imprint of Simon & Schuster, came and was in conversation with Jack Romanis, who's our chair emeritus. He is a retired CEO of Simon & Schuster. And they talked about the state of publishing. Where are we at? Audiobooks, for example, are the fastest growing segment of any publishing right now. How does the publishing industry respond to that? What is it, an industry that was all about how many books sold and all that, how do you count that? You know, of course it is a book if you buy an audiobook, but it's a different way of looking at the industry. This year we're having Rick Richter. He's a literary agent up in New York. He will be here to talk about what does a literary agent do? He'll be in conversation with Jack. Are they still necessary in this world of self-publishing and author finance? Turns out they are. How do you access a literary agent? So what we're trying to do each year is to bring in an element of the publishing industry that's interesting to people in Savannah. Whether you're a writer or not, you may just be interested in how does this all come about, and just trying to introduce that in. Right. So far, so good.
So the festival is not just for people who are readers, but also people who are writers.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, let's take a quick break for station identification and a few announcements. And when we come back, we will actually talk with Kim Bakyasuan, Executive Director of the Savannah Book Festival, about the three headliners of the 2019 festival coming up in February. You are listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
This is PT. WRUU 107.5 FM is a new and different listener-supported and all-volunteer community radio for Savannah. Our diverse broadcast and web programming is supported by generous listeners who value our passion and spunk. We are independent of other media and receive no government or large corporate support. People like you are the largest and most important source of our funding. Go to WRUU.org to find out how you can make a one-time or monthly contribution. Thank you.
The Metropolitan Savannah Rotary Club will present a day trip to see Jackson Pollock's 20-foot mural and other displays at the Columbia Museum of Art on January 12th. This event will benefit Ogeechee Riverkeeper and a Rotary Global grant to provide desks for school children in India. For more information, look for events at metrosavannahrotary.org. Well, welcome back. I'm Lee Rich, here with my co-host, P.T. Bridgeport. You're listening to Literature on WRUU 107.5 FM. Today, we're talking with the Executive Director of the Savannah Book Festival, Kim Bakyasuan. And Kim, I've been practicing your name for quite some time.
Lee, you have nailed it every time, and I'm sure appreciative of that.
So, Kim, we were going to talk about the three headline events at the
Savannah Book Festival. I was going to say the three authors, but there's actually more than three authors for these three headline events.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We've only ever had two authors at a headline event once before, and it was Anne Rice and her son Christopher, who has become a writing partner of hers. That was several years ago. So we've done it before, but this year we actually have two of our headline addresses are going to be two authors. So we have our opening address on Valentine's Day, Thursday, February 14th, and it will be George and Paula Saunders. George Saunders won the Man Booker Prize in 2017 for Lincoln and the Bardo. It is probably, the Man Booker Prize is literature's way of honoring their own. It is, for a writer, one of the most prestigious, if not the most prestigious award you can get. He has well known for being a short story writer. The 10th of December is a collection that is very well known. He is probably one of the hottest literary writers that are out there right now. He has just released a book called Fox 8, which is an interesting little book about a pack of foxes that are being displaced by a shopping mall and how they work to integrate with the humans around them to see if they can balance that all out. So we're excited to have him. He doesn't do a lot, so it's great that he's coming. And one of the reasons he's coming is because his wife Paula had a debut novel this summer called A Distant Home. And we thought with Valentine's Day to have a married couple who are both published writers living in the literary world would be really kind of great. Jonathan Rabb, who's a local SCAD professor, a member of our board, and a published author, will be moderating the conversation with them. So I think it'll be a great night to hear about their lives. I mean, I think George, I've seen several interviews with him, very fascinating person to talk to, and Paula just seems delightful, and I think people coming will learn about what it's like to be writers in this world and partners as well.
Right, and Lincoln and the Bardo was George Saunders' first novel, correct?
It was, and this Fox 8 is his second novella.
Right. So. And, you know, and I was going to read a little bit of Fox 8 on the air, but honestly, you really have to actually see it with your eyes because, I don't know if all of the story, but at least the opening part of the story is told from one of the foxes, him or herself, correct?
The whole story is told in foxes speaking their interpretation of English. I've been told, I have not done it yet, but to listen to the audiobook of it's excellent because they have all sorts of celebrity readers as the characters that read the lines the foxes do. So.
And I tip my hat to his editor because it stops an editor's heart to see that, I guess, you know, the foxes spelled the words as best as they can. But
they're speaking human.
That's right.
Human. Yeah,
that's right. So they're your opening, right? Your keynote actually technically is almost a dual presentation as well because
it kind of is. Yeah. I didn't think about that, Lee. Absolutely. So it's Daniel Krauthammer, the son of Charles Krauthammer, who passed away this summer, and it is to present Charles's last memoir, which has been published posthumously this month. And so he was actually with his dad as he sickened. He edited the book. He's written the introduction, and he did the eulogy for his dad. So he's basically going to talk about, as his father has reflected on his life. You know, I hadn't realized Charles Krauthammer was paralyzed in an accident when he was 21.
I didn't know that either.
And so he lived from that point until his death in a wheelchair. So he, you know, I have not read the book yet, but I've read reviews, and it seems like it's a great reflection not only on Charles Krauthammer's life, but on the life of America and how, you know, that's what Charles did, is he commented on the United States in reflection of the world as a whole, in reflection of what was happening in popular culture, philosophically. The book reflects all of that.
Right. And Charles was trained as a psychologist.
A psychiatrist at Harvard.
Okay.
And
yep.
And that book is called The Point of It All, A Lifetime of Great Loves and Endeavors. And I haven't read the book yet either, but I did open up, I did start reading the beginning of the book. And it's interesting. It opens up with Charles Krauthammer talking about the day his son Daniel was born or the time his son Daniel was born. And at least from my readings of Charles Krauthammer, it's a very different side of Charles
Krauthammer.
Yeah. Now, your closing address.
Well, that's exciting, too, because we will have two people as well. We have Lynn Vincent and Sarah Vladek, who are the authors of Indianapolis, which has just been an incredible New York Times bestseller since it came out this summer. It's Indianapolis, the true story of the worst sea disaster in U.S. naval history and the 50-year fight to exonerate an innocent man. It's a fascinating story. Sarah Vladek is a filmmaker who has been obsessed by this story since she was a teenager. She has spoken to survivors, children of survivors. She is the one who kind of had the passion to do this. Lynn Vincent is a naval veteran and also a co-writer of many books. And they came together with her experience of writing and Sarah's passion about the subject and have created a really detailed account of the ship that delivered the atom bomb to Japan. And on the way back, it was attacked and sank. And I believe almost 1,000 sailors lost their lives that day. So it's going to be interesting to have the two of them come in and talk about something that is obviously, writers tend to write about that which they are passionate about. And so we're always fortunate when we have writers who come and they say, what should we talk about? Talk about your writing life. What made you wake up one morning and say, this is the book I want to write? What made you midway through that book when you're ready to throw it out the window say, this book is important enough to keep going? And I think that's what the festival offers, is that very intimate look at the process and the passion and the philosophy of some of these authors.
Right, and I want to come right back to that, what you were just saying. But PT, you and I were talking about the Indianapolis, and you have an interest in and some passion around that as well, don't you?
I do. As it turns out, my father-in-law was stationed on the Indianapolis and left the ship about 6 months before that final fatal voyage. If people don't recognize the incident, part of the incident was that after the ship was sunk, because there was no radio contact, because they were on the super secret mission, quite a number of the sailors had to survive in the water for days on end before they were picked up. And it was actually a small part of the plot of the movie Jaws.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the background story?
Right. The sea captain captaining the little boat they're on is supposed to be a survivor of the Indianapolis, right?
So really,
and that it was sharks that were threatening.
These were
sailors that were in the water for days with sharks around them. So I can see how the Jaws would use it as a backstory.
The estimate I saw, which I don't know whether it's true or not anymore, is that half of the people who were lost in the incident were lost to the sharks.
Right. Wow. I believe that's true. I believe that's what they say in the book.
Wow. Okay. Now, Kim, you were saying, oftentimes if you go to a local book reading, whether the author is local or on a book tour, the author might talk a little bit about why he or she wrote the book and then maybe give a reading out of that book and then sign some books. But you say when it comes to the Savannah Book Festival, you guys approach these author talks differently.
We really do. One of the things people don't want to hear is an author reading from their book. If you go to a bookstore to hear an author who is selling their book, it's a great, you've made a decision. You're with usually 20 to 30 people. Everything's great and that author's reading it. The book festival is from 9 to 5. If you want, you can hear 7 different authors. We want to hear about your life. We want to hear about your process. We want to hear about your research. What brought you to this point? And so in the past, we've asked authors to limit their reading to maybe 2 to 3 minutes in context. Last year, for the first time, we had 5 authors that read almost the entire time. So they didn't talk very much about what we asked them to talk about. For whatever reason, they read their book. Our festival goers don't want to hear that. And what I tell our authors is they don't go buy the book then because they've now heard it. They have no, intrigue them. Tell them about your book. And so this year in the contract, we've actually written in that they are not allowed to read for more than 2 minutes. Just really trying to get, that's the feedback we get is people don't want to hear the book. They want to hear about the author. That's what's different about a festival versus a book reading where it's one author at a bookstore focused on that author. We're focused on 43 that day.
Right. Okay. So it's more about either their lives as writers or maybe their life as a writer for this particular book or novel.
Absolutely. I can remember when I heard Paula McLean talk, you know, she was a young mom. She had kids in preschool. She'd drop them at preschool, go to a coffee shop, and write. What kind of discipline does that take? Because, you know, at her house, there were 3 loads of laundry,
right,
groceries, dirty toys to pick up, and all that. But she did that. And so that's what I find inspirational is the story behind the story that's written that I've read. And we've been fortunate to have some great authors who come in and talk about that. They talk for about 25 minutes, and then we have Q&A after. And most times it's not specifically about the book, unless you're a J.A. Jantz who has a long series and they want to know what's going to happen to a character or something like that. It's more often than not, how'd you get your book contract? How did you do that? You know, people want to know what brought them to this moment in Savannah that they're standing in front of 100, 200, 600 people and telling their story.
Right. So some tips and tricks of the trade, which really aren't tricks. It's a lot of times it's, you know, hard work and carving out the time, discipline, and, you know, knocking on doors.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'll never forget, Diana Gabaldon talked about how she was a PhD in research scientist and wrote a book for fun.
Right, yeah.
And here she's built an empire. So that's the kind of stuff that's really interesting. What that phone call was like that first day in 1992 when the editor called her to say, I think we're going to buy it. You know, that kind of thing. That's what people want to hear about.
Right. And sometimes you'll get that first call and something will happen and nope, it all falls through.
Absolutely.
How do you pick yourself up after that and go forward?
Well,
and
you get that first contract, your book is published, you market it, and it kind of dies.
Right.
How do you write that second book? But maybe that second book or third book or fifth book is the one that bounces.
Right. Now, are there particular, I'm going to ask you personally, are there particular authors or genres anywhere in the festival that really pique your interest? That, you know, are you more interested in nonfiction? Do you like more literary fiction?
You know, I'm absolutely more of a fiction reader than I am nonfiction. I've read more nonfiction since I've come to the Savannah Book Festival than I have probably in my entire life, which is funny because I was a history major. No, I'm definitely fiction. I am not a literary reader for the most part. I'm more of a commercial reader. But I will tell you, since I've come to the festival, I'm not much reader at all. You know, I try and at least read some of all the books that come, but it's a really crazy time. And then I always say, as soon as the festival's over, I'm going to read them all through. Well, guess what? As soon as the festival's over, I'm looking for the next year. So that is the one thing that we always laugh about as the staff, is that working for a book festival, we're probably the least well-read of any attendees because we've been so busy putting it together.
Well, we won't ask you any questions then about the book. Now, PT, how about you? Are you more of a fiction, nonfiction? What draws you?
I'm kind of a mirror reflection of Kim. I read much more nonfiction.
Me
than
too.
Fiction.
Yeah.
And just looking over the list of people who are going to be here, I see some very familiar names. Dan Hampton, for example, has done many, many good things. You've got John A. Farrell and his book on Nixon.
Right.
I'm looking. And of course, Deborah Tannen. The previous book, was that Men Are From Mars? Women?
No,
it
that's,
is not.
That's
no.
John Gray.
That
now, I've used some Deborah Tannen in some of my my courses in teaching about health communication. She does have a nice way of bringing academic perspectives, but written in a very general readership kind of
way.
Well,
at any rate, I've read some very persuasive things by her. She thinks about these things really well.
Right.
One of the books we're really excited about is Kelly Jensen, and she's written a YA book, actually. It's one of the first YAs we've had.
That's young adult for our older
young
listeners
adults.
Out
it's
there.
It's called Don't Call Me Crazy. We've been trying to introduce a few more young YA authors in. It turns out when we were all young, we maybe read children's literature and maybe some teen literature. And then once you got to be an adult, you read adult literature. Well, the trend is not that. What we're finding is that the YA, the Hunger Games, the Twilight, things like that, people are reading into their 30s and even into their 40s. So we're trying to introduce some of those YA authors who are talking about things that would interest a broader range. This one is talking about mental health and adolescence. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, we have a lot of parents and grandparents who come. It's a hot issue. They are essays written by people who struggle with these events, and she's going to kind of talk about that. So we're really excited to have a YA and a mental health element.
Right, all combined into
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
I mean, and PT and I, like I said, over the coming weeks, we'll probably dig into some of the Festival Saturday authors a little bit more, and maybe even give you a taste of some of their books. I know for me, Deborah Bloom's The Poison Squad, you know, about food safety, rise of food safety. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the science. I love the history. I love the nonfiction. We'll dig into those a little bit more in January.
Well, you know, one of the ones is that I'm really excited is David Edwards, Creating Things That Matter. It's talking about the engineering of products and things that make our lives easier. We have Charles Graber, who's writing about immunotherapy and how it's been incredibly advancement in cancer treatment. The Birth Aloud with Les Paul and Leo Fender, The Battle for the Electric Guitar, which influenced all the music we hear today. You know, we tried to really get some broad range of subjects, and I think we were successful.
Yeah.
The fiction book that people haven't really heard about, but I'm really excited about, is called Dracul.
Yes,
it's written by Dr. Stoker, who was a middle school teacher in Aiken, South Carolina, right around the corner. He is the keeper of the Bram Stoker estate.
Uh-huh.
He is the great-great-great-great-grandnephew.
Right.
And is the one who he has another book that's been about Dracula. The first 100 pages of Dracula were eliminated by the editor. Those darn editors get you every time.
Every time, that's
and
right.
And were eliminated by the editor and are gone. They were thrown away. Okay. But Bram was so upset by this that through letters, anybody who would listen to him, he would talk about why this was such a tragedy and a travesty. By looking at those notes, they've been able to piece together, and Dracul is the prequel. He wrote it with J.D. Barker, a renowned horror writer, the prequel to Dracula. I think that's a really crazy story, and I can't wait to hear him talk about it.
And I think especially Savannians will be very much drawn to that.
And I think he's just down the road in Aiken.
Exactly.
Who would have thought Bram Stoker's great-great-grandnephew'd be hanging out in Aiken, South Carolina?
We have a lot of literary gems hidden all throughout our city and state and beyond. So, looking ahead for the Savannah Book Festival, and what lessons have you learned since 2016? Moving forward, where do you see the festival going?
Well, it's a great question right now. We have just begun a really interesting strategic planning process, which I don't know if we were ever at a spot where we could pause and do that. I think we've stabilized. We're growing. We're about as big as we can as we exist today. So the question before us is, do we just keep it to these 4 days and be the very best 4-day book festival out there, which would be a fine goal.
Right.
Do we look at going, you know, year round? One of the things we haven't talked about is our SBF at Schools program, which is something I'm personally proud of. So before I came in 2016, there were two authors that came into town a day early and went out to some schools. We've had 16 authors in 2017, 26 authors in 2018, 33 authors will go out to middle and high, private, public, universities and talk about their writing life for, you know, which is great. And it's, you know, we're going to touch 2,000 students' lives with that. So, you know, do we expand that program to be year-round, to be more working with the school district? Do we have book clubs? Do we do salons? Do we have pop-up events? All these are being discussed. But I think we kind of have to look at what do we do best.
Right.
And make sure we don't spread ourselves too thin. All those things I'm talking about take money. You know, do we grow our organization? Do we become more of a fund development organization? Do we look more for foundation grants? You know, we have an opportunity with the library. We're going to see how this goes this year. We'll meet with the library. You know, do we go forward as partners? Both sides are going to have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real kind of precipice for the book festival. I think we can reflect on the past 12 years that we have done it really well, and we continue to be proud of how well we do it. What are we going to do differently? I don't know. It could be nothing. We could continue to just be a great festival year after year. Hopefully we'll have some answers in the next few months about that, and we'll be sure to communicate it.
That sounds great. Yes, sometimes sustaining what works can often be better and the right thing, as opposed to, like I said, growing in all of these directions that, you know, might risk the...
We might ruin the festival experience that is so enjoyed by 10,000 people. You know,
the festival is an icon for Savannah.
Absolutely.
Savannah does a number of festivals and events really, really well, but the book festival is one of the best of them.
And we want to keep it to be one of the best. And we'll just have to be, now that we've taken some risks and they've paid off. You know, when we put the app on, most of my demographic doesn't really know what to do with an app. But guess right. what? It was well used. It was well reviewed. We're starting a survey process this year to hear what people who attend want to see and hear about.
And
which
maybe base some changes off of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Right? So we're growing and we're going to be better and stronger every year.
Right. Now, you had said, this was a quote by you from a Savannah Morning News article, and I think when you first came on board as executive director, and you had said that the Savannah Book Festival is an integral part of our community's exploration of civil conversation. Mm. I really love that quote. Why are book festivals important, and how does the Savannah Book Festival contribute to that exploration of civil conversation in our community and beyond?
Lee, that's a great question. The example I'll give you, if anybody was fortunate enough to hear Jodi Picoult talk last year, her book, she's written many books about current topics. Last year it was about racism. And in her talk, she said to a packed theater, "I'm a racist, you're a racist." And our point being that we all are who we are, and we have to acknowledge that and then start from there to make the conversations better, the civil conversations better, to make the world or community around us better. I had several sponsors say, "Wait, she called me a racist." And, you know, I was frustrated because she said many other words that day. That was just one of them. I had one of my mentors on the book festival board said to me, "You know what, Kim? This is what makes a book festival great. We don't all have to agree. We all hear different things, but we take away something. And I would rather hear an opinion that I'm not familiar with than my own reiterated." And I think that's what book festivals do. In this fragmented world, we tend to surround ourselves with people who are like-minded. Come to the book festival. Hear about something that's maybe new. Maybe it's different from what you believe. And maybe, just maybe, you'll learn something.
Right. And I mean, I think PT and I would both agree that, you know, that's also probably one of the reasons why most of us read.
Right.
We read to learn something new. We read to push on our preconceived ideas, to expand our horizons.
Absolutely.
And I guess with the Savannah Book Festival going out to talk with all these school kids, that also brings them into the civic conversation as well.
If they talk to 2,000 kids this year, and two of them think about a writing life, we've had a successful SBF at school program.
Right. Or just decide to pick up another book, right?
And or decide that English class that they're making them read something, it might be worth reading. There might be something in that book they haven't learned yet.
Right. Well, we are coming up close to the end of the hour. We're going to have Not Fade Away. That's Tim Hogenboom's program. But today, Jen from the Flannel Channel is going to be sitting in for Tim. So, Kim, one of the last questions I have for you, at least for now, because we're going to drag you back on to talk about publishing and other things at a future date. For those people who can't attend the festival, or I know I struggled with this last year where I wanted to hear two authors and they were right at the same time, what can people do to maybe hear at least some of the talks?
So all of our headline authors are we have a videographer there, and we post them as soon as we can on our website. So if you're unable to hear the George and Paula Saunders, Daniel Krauthammer, or Sarah Vladek and Lynn Vincent, those should be published by late February. Unfortunately, we do not do video of our Saturday authors. That's something we hope to grow in our strategic
planning.
That's
a lot of video cameras.
That's a lot of video cameras. It would be very expensive. We're a nonprofit. So what I would say is on Festival Saturday, I need to almost wear a bulletproof vest because I am like enemy number one, that you've put author A and author B at the same time because you knew I wanted to see both of them. Yes, that was exactly the reason that we did it.
You are very sadistic, I can tell.
Yes, but I would just say come, go, look at that, you know, pick one or two options for every hour, and you may find, you know, if you go to one, you can't get in, go to the other. Be agile about it, and as Lee and I talked before we went on, my best experiences have been authors I've never heard of, but I've just walked in, I've sat down, and I've been mesmerized.
Absolutely. And C-SPAN's Book TV will be
It will be. We'll be at Trinity United Methodist Church. People ask me how those authors are picked. They are picked by Book TV and C-SPAN. That schedule has already been put together, which brings me to, we're hoping to have our schedule posted by January 1st.
Okay, on your Savannah
on our
Book
website,
Festival.
SavannahBookFestival.org. Hopefully by January 1st, under Festival Saturday, if you click the schedule button, we'll have everybody of when they will appear and in what venue they are scheduled to appear in.
Okay. PT, we're at 12:55. I know we wanted to play a little song as we wrap up. I don't know if you have one last thought or question for Kim.
Really, I don't. I see a whole lot of good coming out of here because when you deal with authors, you certainly have the potential to ignite a whole lot of civil discourse.
Right, absolutely. Well, Kim Bakyasuen, Executive Director of the Savannah Book Festival, we want to thank you very much for joining us today. That Savannah Book Festival is February the 14th to the 17th, 2019. For more information, savannahbookfestival.org. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.